You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Good morning. You greet the people around you a Merry Christmas for a while. Come on, let's greet everyone a Merry Christmas. We are on the second installment of our series called Hope Has Come. And we have been looking at the book of Galatians. And I want to thank Tom for covering for me last Sunday. Today, we're going to be doing something different because we will just look into one verse. I'll exegete it for everyone. Then perhaps after that, let's have a time of just worshiping God all together as we look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 5. But before we get there, there are some of you who's been asking for the podcast for the Imago Dei series. We didn't upload that on purpose. We upload all of our sermons except for that one. But if you're interested to get a copy of the podcast for that specific series, just approach us after service. Okay, approach Pastor Kate, approach me. We'll make it available for you for your personal consumption. Okay, so I can also give you my sermon notes, the 11 pages for the guys, the manhood, and the 25 pages for the women. Okay, turn your Bibles with me to the book of Galatians for a while. We're looking into Galatians chapter 4. We'll read verse 1 down to verse 5, but we'll look at verse 5 for today since verse 4 was covered last Sunday. So, kumbaga po yung what we're going to be having here today is a continuation of what we've talked about last Sunday. It says here in Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 to 5, I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But, here's Christmas. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Like what I said, we're looking at the book of Galatians, and if you're fond of studying, not just for the sake of knowledge, of course, but for the sake of application, if you're fond of studying the Bible, you could actually pair the book of Romans with the book of Galatians. Okay, if you get to pair the book of Romans with the book of Galatians, you get to have a firmer grasp, okay, when it comes most specifically with the doctrine of salvation, okay, talking about how God saved every single one of us. But for today, we're going to be looking at verse 5. Like what I said, this is a continuation of what we've talked about last Sunday. But for us to have a context of what we're talking about here, allow me to just briefly read Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, which was what Tom and Matt covered last Sunday. It says here, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law. Okay, this was Paul writing this to the churches in Galatia. The clincher here is the phrase, but when the fullness of time had come. I'd like first to understand that there were several qualifications that were satisfied when you say the fullness of time had come, meaning to say every single setup was in perfect place for what was in perfect place for Christ to be born. It starts talking about the Pax Romana, which is what we call the Roman peace. Okay, meaning to say the Empire of Rome were in a unified rule in a sense that Rome was over the entire empire and there was peace among their subjects. Koine Greek at that time was used as a language for everyone. That's why the New Testament was written in Greek. The Roman roads were being set up also. That is why if you go further from the Gospels, the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you would see that there was a propagation of the preaching of the gospel, and that was made possible because of the road systems. All of these things were set up. This basically comprised the fullness of time. So when that happened, Bible says Jesus was born in Bethlehem. We find that in the book of Matthew, book of Mark, okay, in the gospels. Okay, so now, here's the reason. Verse 4 gives us a picture of what happened. Okay, verse 4 gives us a picture of the fullness of time had come, Jesus was born. But verse 5 gives us a reason. Okay, it gives us a reason as to why Jesus needed to be born. And we find it here. And there are two words that we have to understand here today. And verse 5, it says here, he was born when the fullness of time had come to redeem those who were under the law. Would you read that with me for a while? To redeem those who were under the law. Not just that. The other facet of that is this. So that we might receive adoption as sons or as his children. So the two words that I want us to put our minds into, our attention into, are the words redeem and the words receive. So meaning to say, there is something that Jesus redeemed when he came here. The implication of that is that there is something that we ought as God's people to receive from that which he has redeemed. Okay, so let's look at the first part of this, which is to redeem those who are under the law. When you say, when the fullness of time had come, it's like some of you are waiting for Shopee 1212. You know what I'm talking about? Right? So when you're waiting for Shopee or Lazada 1212, what do? You set up your computers, you set up your gadgets or whatever. That's what I do. Okay, whenever there's like a piece of fare of Cebu Pacific, I have 4 gadgets with me. Okay, so I have a laptop, I get Rian's phone, I get my phone, I have another phone, and I work on all 4 phones to get the best promo fare and stuff like that. It's like, you know, you prepare for all of these things in order for you to receive something, right? So that's basically what we have here. Everything was set up. Okay, that's why it says here, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son. So perfect yung timing ni Lord. Okay, when he was born. Verse 5 says, to redeem those who are under the law. So he came to redeem. Everybody say that with me for a while. He came to redeem. That's very clear. That's a very elementary teaching in Christianity. And I hope and pray that for some of you here, okay, who's been a Christian since you were like a kid, okay, since you were like 11, I hope and pray that you will see this with fresh eyes. Let's look at the word redeem for a while. The word redeem here in its original Greek is the word exagorazo. And what's fascinating here is that exagorazo is one word, but these are actually 2 words put together. The word ex simply means completely out from. Okay, and the word agorazo means to buy up at the marketplace. So you kind of get a picture that, you know, while Paul was writing this, this is what I love about the Bible. Of course, we don't understand it in its original Greek. But you know what? When Paul would write letters, he always makes it relevant culturally. Meaning to say, he would use marketplace terms. He would use, if you would allow me, he would use business terms for people to understand what God was doing. So here, he was using the word exagorazo, which is a combination of 2 words. Ek means completely out from, agorazo means to buy up at the marketplace. Meaning to say, the word redeem here simply means completely buy out from. This is not in marketing terms, this is not 12 months 0% interest. Okay, it's not like that. This is not layaway terms. You know what I'm talking about? This is not buying something and pay it later. This is not buying something and leaving a balance behind and allowing your parents to pay for the balance. It's not like that. It's none of those things. This talks about someone who has the capacity to buy out something completely. Something that is expensive, something that is of value, okay, and he completely buys everything of it, every single thing of it. Okay, and this is what we have here. To redeem here, the word redeem here simply means to completely buy out from. So, in essence, okay, if you would like to use those words, to completely buy out from, it simply means that when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born in Bethlehem, born of a woman, born under the law, to completely buy out those who are under the law. Catch it? So meaning to say, yes, there was a cost in the buying out or in the redemption of mankind. And someone paid for the cost, and the one who paid for the cost is the one who has the capacity, the only person who has the capacity to pay for the cost. And we understand that it is God himself. If we go further, it says here, to completely buy out from or to redeem those who are under the law. So first, here's the question for all of us here in the 9 a.m. service. Who is the subject of redemption? Who's the subject of redemption? Okay, redeem simply means exagorazo. Exagorazo simply means to completely buy out from. That's interesting. Who are excited to receive some gifts this Christmas? Who's even more excited to give gifts this Christmas? Come on now. Right? Wives, moms, can you imagine your husband? No pressure on the husbands. On Christmas Day, surprising you with, let's say, a brand new washing machine. Something that you yourself couldn't afford. And this is no ordinary washing machine because it's a good one. Okay, it has a dryer, whatever. It's combo or dual or whatever. Or think about something that you've been wanting for and someone gives it to you. So meaning to say, you've become a subject of that gift. So the question for us is this one. Redeem exagorazo is something that not everyone is capable of doing. It's not capable, not everyone is capable of doing. Kings are able to do that. And here's a word that God used. Here's a word that God used, okay, to talk about the redemption of mankind. So first, who is the subject of redemption? In Bisaya, kinsang gitubos. That's what it says, right? Kinsang gitubos, who's the subject of redemption? And the answer is found there. The ones who were redeemed were those who were under the law. Okay? Bible says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 5, okay, that the ones who were redeemed, the subject of redemption, were those who were under the law. Here's the next question. Why do they need to be redeemed? Right? If I'm under the law, why do I need to be redeemed? Nganong kinanglan ko itubos? And the answer is found, of course, somewhere in Galatians as well. We're in Galatians chapter 4. But the answer is found in Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians chapter 3, it says here, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Catch it? Now look. Galatians 4:4 says, Christ was born to redeem, verse 5, to redeem those who are under the law. Who's the subject of the redemption? Those who are under the law. Why do they need to be redeemed? Because there is what? There is a corresponding curse in the law. Catch it? Now I will understand this further. Allow me to read this. Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. For as many are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone, look at this one, who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. What Galatians chapter 3, verse 10, Paul was quoting, is actually found in the Torah. In Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 26, it says here, cursed be anyone who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them. There's like what? 613 law written down. Deuteronomy chapter 27 teaches us that if there is one law that you are not able to fulfill, then you are, come on now, you are cursed. Okay, you are cursed. Now, I'd like for us to understand that the curse is not the law. Catch it? The law is not the curse. The curse is not the law. But the curse is the penalty levied for not keeping the law. If you cannot keep the law, you are cursed. Here's the next question. I know that you have this in mind. What is the law? Okay, if I can't keep the law, then I am cursed. What is the law? The book of the law refers to the covenant laws that God made with his people during the time of Moses. People would say that the law reveals what sin is. I think that's not theologically accurate to say that because sin has already been revealed. But the law defines and redefines what sin is. Here's what the law will do to you. I want to show you a 20-second video. A 20-second video. And this is what the law does to people. Check this out.
I had always told Marcel that he was the cutest monkey in the zoo. And he believed her until the day he found a mirror.
Catch it? Okay. He thought he was the cutest monkey in the zoo until the day he found a mirror. Okay, when he looked at himself, nagulat siya. Okay, friends, look at this. Every time I get into God's word as a pastor, every time I get into God's word as a preacher, I always realize one thing. I realize I can always come before God's presence and tell, man, I preached 4 times today. I preached 3 times today. I did one-to-one with someone. I did all of these things. I gave this money to this person. I gave this to this poor person. But every time I get into God's word, I realize one thing. I am an utterly worst of all sinners. That is what the law does to us. It reveals to us how sinful we are. It reveals to us how proud we are, how boastful we are, how arrogant we are. It makes us realize who we really are in the presence of God. The law is supposed to make us cry out to God. Just like Isaiah did when he said, "Woe is me, for I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips." That is what the law does. You understand this further when you understand what the word curse means. The word curse here is the word katara, which if you look at that, it talks about the penalties received due to condemnation. So meaning to say, this is a penalty curse with a corresponding penalty judgment. So in short, cursed, okay, to be cursed, okay, simply means you have been committed to destruction. Okay? Now, if you don't fulfill the law, you are committed to destruction. What does it mean? Okay, meaning to say, you have led your own soul to damnation if you won't fulfill a single law. But I think here's a question for many of us. If the law is talking about the law of Moses, I am not Jewish, how am I under the law? Is it right? That's bad news for guys like Jeremiah. That's bad news for guys like Peter. This is bad news for guys like Gamaliel or whoever. This is bad news for guys like, you know, James. I'm not Jewish. How am I under the law? And I love how the Bible just gives us a picture of this one. Romans chapter 2 verse 12. Paul says, "For all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law. And all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law." Romans chapter 3 verse 23. "For all have sinned, have fallen short of the glory of God." Here's a clearer picture. Romans chapter 2, verse 14 to 15. "For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves. Even though they do not have the law," look at this one, verse 15. "They show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them." At the end of the day, we can say, "I'm not Jewish. How am I under the law?" Paul argues to every single one of us, guess what, friends? The law is written in your heart. The mere fact that you have conscience, the mere fact that when you were 8 years old, you were 9 years old, you know for a fact that if I punch someone, it's just not good. You know for a fact that the law is written in your hearts. So if you have violated your conscience, then cursed are you. That's basically what we have here. Bad news. We are cursed together with the Jewish people. That's bad news. Good news is we are also offered redemption the same way as those who are under the law. So going back, this is what God did. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law. How did Christ do this? Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. So meaning to say, He took on this curse to Himself. He substituted Himself in our place and took the punishment that we ought to deserve. The curse that was supposed to be yours. Tell your seatmate for a while, you deserve the curse. Right? But you tell your other seatmate, you deserve damnation. That sounds funny. You go home later and think about that. Think about that. What does it mean to be damned? It simply means that you spend your eternity outside of the presence of God in torment and punishment. And that's basically why Jesus came. Doing so, Jesus fulfilled and upheld the requirements of the law. The curse of the law fell on Christ on our behalf so that the righteousness of God could fall on us, though we all understand that we do not deserve this. It says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, a few more things. "For our sake, He made Him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God." Friends, this is what Christmas is all about. Okay, this is what Christmas is all about. So when you're going to have your Advent, or you're going to have your Advent devotions, you're going to have Christmas devotions, I'd like for you to have these kinds of perspective. Okay, that this is what Christmas is all about. You know, the interesting thing here is the word redeem is in its aorist tense, meaning to say it's an active voice, in its subjunctive mood, that gives us a picture that, yes, you are redeemed, but it rests on the receiver. Okay? Meaning to say, Jesus was not sent to force redemption on those who do not desire to be redeemed. Catch it? So at the end of the day, it will rest on the what? It will rest on the receiver. If that person who's being offered redemption would gladly take this. There are three ideas involved. Okay, whenever we start talking about the redemption of Christ or the redemption of man through the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ. First is the paying of the ransom with his very own blood. The removal of the curse of the law and the release from the bondage to sin. The second aspect of verse 5 talks about its implication. The implication, okay, we were redeemed from the curse of the law. What is the implication of that? It says here, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Alright? So that we might receive adoption as sons. Now, when Paul was writing this, he had in mind a picture of Roman adoption. In our time right now, it's not easy to legally adopt someone, is it right? You'll have to go through DSWD. You'll have to go through different sets of legal requirements and papers. During their time, Roman adoption is quite difficult. And here's the thing. Many people who were not adopted when they were babies. They were not adopted as babies. If you're going to adopt someone, many of those who were adopted when they were already teenagers. And here's the amazing thing. There's also a trade that happens wherein adoption happens to slaves. Okay, that slaves are being adopted as sons. And that's a crazy thing to do for someone to adopt a slave to become a son. And here's how Roman adoption is enacted during their time. Adoption was very difficult. It involved a very expensive and legal procedure. But here's what happens. Every time someone is adopted into a certain family, specific rights and privileges are this one. First, if you are adopted as a slave, if you're adopted as a grown man, all of your debts, previous debts, are canceled. Number two, all criminal charges against you are dropped immediately. All right? Next, they could not be legally put to death by their own new father. And fourth, they could not be disinherited by their new father. And you know, Paul was taking this analogy to talk about our adoption as God's people. That all of the charges against you as a sinner, as someone who's cursed, are now being dropped. All of your sins are forgiven. Not just that. You being a slave to sin. Bible gives us a picture that God gives us freedom in Him. God gives us His grace found in Him. The word receive here is the word apalumban, which means to fully receive. Okay, to receive in full what one is due. This is something that is offered to every single one of us. Galatians chapter 4, verse 5 teaches us that we were redeemed. But we also get to what? We get to receive this so that we enjoy our standing, our identity as sons and daughters of God. You know, today is December 7, and some of you students are going home. Many of you are leaving Dumaguete to celebrate Christmas somewhere. Here's my prayer for everyone. I pray we celebrate Christmas with this perspective. Celebrate Christmas in such a way that you understand who you are in Christ. You celebrate Christmas with you understanding what Christ has done for every single one of us, for every single one of us here in this room. Celebrate Christmas in such a way that we understand, okay, what it took God for Him to what? To cause the salvation works to come upon our lives.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.